Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to No Dead Air, a music show dedicated towards providing you with post-rock, jazz fusion, and experimental electronic programming. My name is Lucas Phillip, and I'm your host for today. Let's get right into the episode. We're going to celebrate some of the Vancouver Jazz Festival acts that are playing later this summer, including one of my personal favorites, Kamasi Washington. And we're also going to dive into an eclectic mix of electronic music from the 1990s and 2000s. So I'd like to start with our first track. This is by a well-known musician, British musician. His name is James Blake. He released his debut album in 2009 to critical acclaim, and this was the follow-up EP. I'm going to play two versions of this song. One is going to be the original, the electronic mix by James himself, and then I'm going to transition into playing a cover of that song done by a young group, a Canadian group out of Toronto. Their name is Bad Bad Not Good, and they've been headlining festivals and had their own concert series, been quite successful. So they're a prominent act now, and they do the unconventional thing of, instead of covering, we have hip hop sampling jazz. They're the opposite. They're a jazz band that plays covers of primarily hip hop and sometimes electronic songs. So they're taking an interesting spin onto things and rejuvenating jazz in a sense, but I'm going to start off with the original song. This is a CMYK by James Blake. Hope you enjoy.
Look, I found her. Damn. Red coat.
Look, I found her.
Look, I found her. Red coat.
Look, I found her.
Look, I found her. Damn. Red coat.
Look, I found her.
Look, I found her. Red coat.
Look, I found her.
Look, I found her. Damn. Red coat.
Look, I found her.
Damn.
Look, I found her.
Damn. Red coat.
Look, I found her.
Damn.
Look, I found her.
Damn. Red coat.
Look, I found her.
Damn.
Look, I found her.
Damn. Red coat.
Look, I found her.
Thank you.
So that was CMYK by James Blake. We're going to listen to the exact same track, redone by a different group, this time in a jazz style. And so this is the same song off of their second album called BBNG2. This was released in 2016. It's a jazz fusion record by the band Bad Bad Not Good from Toronto. They're a Canadian group. And on one of their other records, they prided themselves by saying that no person involved in the creation of that album was over the age 21 at the time that it released. So pretty cool. Very young group. And this is them with their take on the previous song. So this is CMYK again.
Thank you.
Wow, that was a much more energetic performance. Guys are extremely talented. Lots of really exciting playing, and especially the solos there were a personal highlight for me, showing lots of technicality and also doing something completely different with the song, allowing that element of free improvisation. It totally works, totally works. So for the rest of the episode, we're going to discuss a couple of other interesting songs. I have one of my particular favorites from Kamasi Washington's discography, and this is because he's going to be playing on the 24th of June in Vancouver. So this is kind of in anticipation for his concert. And then, as well, I mentioned last episode that I would be looking up Bobby Jameson, as there's that Ariel Pink album that I featured called Dedicated to Bobby Jameson. I didn't know who he was. So I have a song from one of his records that I'd like to play, as well as I have an Oscar Peterson record that I picked up the other day, involving his jazz playing with a string accompaniment. And I wanted to feature that as well because I thought the sounds were really interesting. So for the rest of the episode, that's kind of what we're going to get into. I'd just like to mention that CITR 101.9 is broadcasting from the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam-speaking people. And I hope that the music contained in this episode is something that's new for you guys, and something that everybody will enjoy. The next song that I want to play is by a man named, I don't actually know what his real name is, but his stage name is called Fortet. He is a English electronic music producer, and he is he's gotten his hands into a lot of things. This is the first track off of one of his records called Rounds, and what I really like about this track is all of the organic samples that he used to make the track. And the track is sewn from so many different samples that it's kind of overwhelming how many sounds are worked in, but taking a step back, they kind of all just blend together, and it seems like very natural, almost as if it's a kit of percussion, but all of the individual sounds on that percussion kit are coming from completely different sources. So it's really nice how you kind of brought them together and categorize them in that way, making them play intentionally with one another. The melody is really nice here. It's got a good groove, something that you can really slump into. This will contrast nicely with the song that I'm going to play after, that kind of takes a completely different approach to groove. And as opposed to being sort of more fluid and loose, it's a very rigid and a hypnotic style of groove. And so I'm going to play Hands after we take a quick break. And after that, there's an experimental rock band who's going to follow up with the next track called Zeus. And their track will happen after. So we're just going to take a quick 30-second break, and we'll be right back for the next song.
You're listening to CITR 101.9.
Broadcasting from Vancouver and unceded Musqueam territory.
Pinoy Pride Vancouver Society presents Liberacion, the first LGBTQ Philippine-X Pride Art Celebration, on Saturday, June 16th at XY Lounge, featuring performances by Kimmortal, Naomi King, Romeo Reyes, Well, Jade Soul, and Mevian Hauser, and works by Politique, Mildred Grace German, Clar Pond, Jose Luis Reyes, Cesarina Bravo Tabopo, and These Bodies Between Us. Check out Pinoy Pride on Facebook for more information.
All right, so let's jump in. This next track is called Hands.
Thank you.
almost sounds like pressurized gas being released, like is one of the textures that I can hear on that track. Lots of other strange sounds, and it almost as if, like, you know, there is a rhythm, but then it fades in and fades out. Kind of just allows the longer notes to exist however long that they feel like they should be around, as opposed to counting beats and ending on something more concrete. So very loose, but also very relaxing and very beautiful. This is another example of a completely different kind of groove. This is by the band Zeus, and this track is entitled Corpse. Now, it's going to feature some different instrumentation. It involves a drummer, a live drummer, a saxophonist, and there are some effects treated to the sax, which makes it sound interesting. And there's also a guitar player, also playing through some effects. But overall, it's just the three voices, and it makes for a very hypnotic, very rigid, very sporadic, and almost unpredictable sound. And it's a longer track, so I might not play the entire thing, but still very interesting nonetheless, and I do appreciate the freakouts, the saxophone freakouts, and the solos. This is the track Corpse off of their 2015 album Z. Thank you. So that was Zeus with the song Corpse. Up next, we're going to be listening to two more relaxing songs. This is Bobby Jameson, who I mentioned about earlier in the show, and also who I was kind of pondering last episode after an entire album was dedicated in his name and I didn't know who he was. So I looked him up, listened to some of his songs, and I wanted to share one with you guys. And after that, we're going to listen to an Oscar Peterson song. And Oscar Peterson is a Canadian jazz pianist. He's well known. This record is special because it features him for the first time with a string accompaniment. And I think the strings really do add a lot to his performance, as he's able to put more focus into the melody. And the strings give the track more an embellishment, more of a grandeur, some extra color. It can get kind of lonely being the only voice in the song. And so the strings do make it more epic, more of an occasion. And it sounds important. And important enough to be on the record, so it's a good mix. Up next, we're going to talk about this song. This song is called "Girl from Vernon Mountain," and it's off of the Bobby Jameson record "Songs of Protest and Anti-Protest." I guess this album is apparently famous in the mid '60s for being a folk record. And apparently for inspiring artists such as Ariel Pink, who dedicated his last full-length LP to Bobby Jameson. So we'll listen to the song, and we'll see what we all think afterwards. Before we do that, I have a quick 30-second PSA. Hope you guys are enjoying the show. We'll get through with the rest of the mix.
Tune in every Tuesday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. for the Community Living Show. Join host Michael, Kelly, and friends on CITR 101.9 FM and also online at www.citr.ca for the Community Living Show, right after the morning after show.
Where my love and I once lay. myself, tomorrow will come soon. Girl from Vernon Mountain, I'll be back in the afternoon.
So apparently Bobby Jameson, he came into this record contract in a very strange, peculiar way. The album, Songs of Protest and Anti-Protest, isn't actually written in his name. It's written under this other name, Chris Lucy. Now, Chris Lucy doesn't really exist, but another singer-songwriter with a similar name, Chris Ducey, exists. And the album was originally a project between the record company and this other singer-songwriter, Chris Ducey. And what happened was there was some contractual misunderstanding, and the record producers weren't able to release this material made by Chris Ducey. But they kind of committed to the process a little bit. They already printed like the record sleeves and the cover. And in a weird way, the print cut off the D, so it appeared as if it was an L on the record sleeve. And they basically exploited Bobby Jameson. They knew that he was he had no money, no management, no nothing. And they got him to write songs for this Chris Ducey project that didn't even feature Chris Ducey. It featured quote unquote Chris Lucy. And it's just such a strange thing to have happened. I guess this did jumpstart Bobby Jameson's career, but he received no royalties for any kind for this album. I guess he stuck with the name a little bit. He just kind of embraced it, even though Chris Lucy was a typo. Interesting. So that record is compared to Love's Forever Changes, which is another classic embroidered folk record from the 60s. So up next, I want to play another track. This time it's going to be on the turntable. So I picked up yesterday, actually, it was yesterday night, I picked up a new record. It's an old record, but I just came into its possession. This is Oscar Peterson with Strings. And I've been really impressed with it, and so I wanted to play one of the songs on the B-side. This is called Stella by Starlight. And I think here there's credits to Washington and Young. So I don't know who they are, but it's on the record sleeve. So I'll play the song, and you'll see the excitement and then the complexity in the arrangement, which are two things that I really liked about it. This is Stella by Starlight. Thank you. So that was Stella by Starlight by Oscar Peterson with string accompaniment. Sorry for the little bit of a sloppy start there. Next off, we're going to continue the episode with the Kamasi Washington tune that I foreshadowed. And this is A Scheme. This is got to be one of my favorite saxophone solos, tenor saxophone solos, that I've ever heard. And it's partly because of the climb, the climb to the altissimo, where he ascends pitch, and he does so in a way that kind of, you know, it's incremental, but like these are like milestones in the solo. When he gets to the next highest note, it's a big deal, and he'll get to the next highest note, but not right away. It'll take some time for him to like stay in the mid and the lower register, and then he'll shoot up to like the next highest note, and he'll hold it like he attained something. Like he's actually just trying to warm up his saxophone, trying to. It's almost as if like getting to those higher notes means that he has something to prove. He has to show that he's a worthy saxophonist. And those notes are difficult to play. Like, they are ridiculously high. They're not even proper fingerings for them. I mean, there are. They're altissimo fingerings, but they're done very, very weirdly. You have to learn a special technique in order to play them on the instrument. They're not how, like, you'd play the other notes. But, you know, showcasing the full range of the tenor saxophone is, I mean, especially since it's one of the instruments... most exciting features, I think he does it, you know, in a very interesting and excellent way on the record. So I wanted to play for you A Scheme, and I wanted to play the full track. It's 12 minutes long, so I think after that we'll have to end the episode, unfortunately, but it is a monumentous track off of a monumentous record that acknowledges its own size and scope and scale and everything. This is Kamasi Washington's The Epic, released in 2015. And he'll be playing as part of the Vancouver TD Coastal Jazz Festival. I think it's June 24th at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre. I'll be there. I hope to see some of my fans there, maybe. Maybe not. I hope to see a lot of Kamasi Washington fans there because it'll be an excellent show. If you don't know who he is, you may or may not know him from his studio musicianship on, you know, the very famous Kendrick Lamar records, To Pimp a Butterfly. I think he was even on Good Kid, and I know for a fact he was on the Untitled Unmastered project. So he's responsible for all of those saxophone freakouts and all the other saxophone playing. And in fact, like, a lot of excellent records really are... You know, a lot of the amazingness is contributed by the studio musicians. And so, you know, this is Kamasi Washington's, like, first big release as an individual where he's not making music for somebody else. And it just kind of showed you, like, what his creative direction was. And he's actually part of a big band. It is 10 people. There's two drummers. The interesting thing about this record is it's in a very odd time signature, odd in the sense that it's like 9/8 or 9/11, or I don't remember. And to be honest, like, it's a lot of work counting, so I might omit it. I leave it as an exercise to the listener. But I remember watching a music video where the drummer's trying to get into the groove, and his face is all scrunched up as he's trying to, like, feel the music but also rationalize it in his head. That's something very difficult to do. Feel the music but also rationalize it in your head. You know, put it on some time scale where you're counting beats, or actually see it in the sheet music, or understand it in from a theoretical perspective where you're trying to, you know, oh, well, I know that a resolution from this interval to this interval is a good one to have because it's a minor or major or whatever. Makes sense within the context of the key, that kind of thing. It's very difficult to do. So I have a very high appreciation for these musicians, and I look forward to seeing them in concert. So this is a scheme. I believe there's a story behind this track. Like, it's actually telling us something, or there's some background behind it that explains what's going on. Or it could have been more changing of the guard. I can't remember. But anyways, this is the track. Hope you enjoy. All right. With that, thank you for tuning in to another episode of No Dead Air. It's been a pleasure. Next time, we'll be tuning in 2 weeks, Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. As always, make sure to visit the station or the radio show's Facebook page. Leave any suggestions for songs that you want to be played in future episodes. And anything else that's music related is always more than welcome on the social media page. So thank you so much for having on air. And we'll see you soon. This is CITR 101.9, broadcasting from the unceded Coast Salish territory of the Musqueam people.
CITR 101.9.
CITR 101.9.